This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Who said the key this week is having fun? Were you guys losing some fun? Is it hard to have fun when you don't get results?
You know, a lot of close losses definitely plays a toll on you mentally. So we're kind of getting uptight, overthinking a lot of things. And his message of us going out having fun is just playing the game that we all know how to play. You know, so.
How much pressure is it on the two of you guys to lead these guys through this, you know, through a Pac-12 season, you know, going on the road, going into the hotels, and, you know, just all of it?
From the outside looking in, it would seem like a whole lot of pressure, but we don't see it that way. We know what we have on this team, and we're a young team, so with that being said, we just need experience as a team together, you know, and there's a whole lot of season left, so we don't really see it as too much pressure because we know what we still can do moving forward.
You see the young guys, are they coming to you with questions? Are they trying to figure this out?
Yeah, questions, you know, that's pretty much all we're there for because we've been there before, so, you know, it actually shows a lot about the young guys who are willing to ask questions, to, you know, be in the know and get a little bit more experience about something they've never had to endure before, so. Yeah.
How have you seen this group respond since the latest road trip? And is it getting harder to kind of bounce back after a loss?
I mean, I would never say it's hard to bounce back after a loss if you put the work in for it, you know. But something that could be challenging is keeping a level head and being positive moving forward. And that's what we try to install in all of our minds. Composure and always keeping a positive mind moving forward.
Was the Colorado game kind of the bottom as far as emotions go? It seemed like everybody was really upset on the entire team, coaching staff, over that basketball game.
Not really. I mean, that's probably the first game we lost by double digits. So that's one of the games we can really attribute to something actually not going well, you know, because, you know, a lot of fluke stuff happens in our loss, like, you know, not necessarily fluke stuff, but, you know, last minute shots and stuff like that. That's the first game where, like, we were really beat, but compounded with all the other small losses that we feel like we should have had, we felt like that, you know, we kind of just gave one away, really. So the Colorado loss was a learning experience. It was probably one of our better learning experiences, that in Tennessee, that we have had, you know, this whole season. So it's never a happy thing when you lose, but it's definitely a learning experience. So,
what are the lessons learned?
It's easy for doubt to creep in when losses start to accumulate a little bit and, you know, things aren't going well, but we just got to learn to trust in each other and trust in our staff and coaches and people around us and try to block out all the outside noise to just focus on our goals that we have in front of us.
Did you notice at all? Did some stuff creep in where it was people were losing sight of the team and taking, you know, because Hop talked about guys maybe trying to do too much. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that at all?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, we're all competitors. We all want to win. So if we see us going down, we all know what we have in terms of ability. So we just try to, you know, just force the issue a little bit. But no one ever does it coming from a selfish point or a selfish standpoint or anything like that. It's just all of our guys here just want to win. And when things aren't going well, you're going to do what you know how to do in order to win. So sometimes we can get caught up in that. And that's where the trust thing comes back into, being able to trust in just our coaching staff, trusting your other players, and just being able to weather the storm.
Hey, just how have you two guys really dealt with this adversity, which is really the first time since you guys have been here that you've really faced some adversity? Do you internalize it? Do you call somebody? Do you talk to each other? Just how have you personally dealt with it?
No, I don't. We don't think any of those things are really healthy. You know, any problems or anything you have to get off your chest, you hit the team directly, you know, and talk to the young players, talk to the coaches. You know, it takes a team effort, players and coaches together to overcome something like this. So, you know, that's how we deal with the situations, basically.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely nights where we talk to each other, just mainly like just trying to figure out game plan because, you know, when things aren't going right, you're going to try and see why aren't they, you know, and we're both good basketball minds, you know, been close friends for years now. So whether that be confiding in each other, confiding in our teammates, or just having conversations with coaches, the lines of communication are the most important.
Is there anything from the past 2 years that you can sort of lean on? Because there really, I'm trying to think back in the past 2 seasons, there really hasn't been tough times.
My freshman year, the start, you know, tough times can be, like, even though we were winning, tough times can be described in many different ways, you know, whether it just be, you know, sometimes you just win off natural talent, and that happens from time to time. And that's how it was when we first got here. We weren't really molded as a team, really gelled yet. And then my sophomore year is when we actually did gel, which, you know, led us to make the NCAA tournament. So it's just finding our own success within our team. That's really my hope.
Couple more guys.
Is this game coming at a good time for you guys, knowing that whether it was Dom's game winner or you guys winning down there in Tucson, does the good feeling against Arizona, does that work in your favor when you guys are trying to find an answer and knowing that you've had some success against Arizona?
I mean, we've had success against literally every team in the Pac-12, so I wouldn't say that. I do believe that we look forward to every game, just like we didn't lose the last game, you know, even if that's not what happens the next game. But we look forward to each game because we know there's a lot of season left and there's a lot of things that we can still accomplish and do with what we have left in this season. So, you know, I wouldn't say that Arizona thing is true.
Yeah, we're looking at each opponent now the same way we look at the last one, you know, just getting a win.
Pop was just usually animated itself as he was leaving. He's fired up. Looks like he's making a conscious effort to be as positive as possible. How important is that for you guys right now, and how much do you guys feed off that?
He is, you know, our unspoken leader, just our leader of the team. So we, you know, we fall in line with, you know, how he's feeling sometimes, you know, so being positive is what this situation calls for, you know, because as I said earlier, you know, it's easy for doubt to creep in, it's easy for people to get down, it's easy for us to just give in, and, you know, positivity definitely contribute to our success moving forward, you know, because we don't plan to keep any type of losing streak alive. That's not the DNA of anybody on our team. So him keeping open to positivity and just trying to lift everyone's spirits is definitely going to go a long way. And, you know, we definitely know that he's making a confident effort to do so. So
what has happened with your group since we last saw you on Saturday?
I had a couple practices, film, same thing. Focus has been have fun, get better, not the end of the world. We just got to focus. How can we get better every day? You know, nothing else matters. It's the only thing in our control. We just got to stay positive. We got to stay together. And most important thing, have fun.
Do you still think that you guys are close to that breakthrough? And if so, what things have you seen to, like, give you that reason for
optimism? I do. You know what? We just go back and, you know, you look at these games and you have 5 or 6 games when you're leading really, really good teams in double digits with 5 minutes to go or 6 minutes to go. So you know it's there. We make some young, you know, mistakes, miss some foul shots. Those things happen in games. But we're there. And I think the most important thing is that our team knows that they're good. Our team knows that we have enough talent to win. We just have to execute better. We got to play better in stretches. And so that's all we can focus on. And the last couple of days, we've really worked offensively on moving the ball, sharing the ball, getting a little bit more pop. But the most important thing is you got to be happy. You got to be positive. You got to be confident, and you got to do it together. And that's what we've been focusing on.
You've talked a lot about needing leadership in these times. Have you seen the upperclassmen maybe starting to take those roles on?
You know, I wish they were more vocal. You wish any kid was more vocal, right? But at the end of the day, they are who they are, and they've everybody's a leader in the sense of how they approach practice and how they approach bringing in their mindset and a positive energy and those types of things. I think the guys have been terrific. I think they've been a resilient group. I think they've played exceptionally hard. I don't know if we've played exceptionally smart. That's where we've got to get better, and we've got to teach better as coaches. But for the most part, I'm really proud of how they've come out and they fought. And some of it has been delayed, but they fought. You know, they've played hard enough to win. We just have to play better to win.
Were you getting the sense the guys were losing sight of having fun? You mentioned that.
I don't think so. I think any time that you go through adversity, it can be what? You know, we're in the social media world, and it's just the way it is. You've got to stay focused. I see it with my 18, 15, and 12-year-old. You know, how do you keep them focused? How do you keep them moving in the right direction? But I just think it's human nature, to be honest with you. And that's the one thing I know the coaches and our messaging is having fun. That's the most important thing. This game is meant to be fun, not to be stressed, not to have pressure. You play your best when you're loose, you're sharing, you're laughing, you're smiling, you're hugging, you're loving. Those are the things that we're trying to have here at University of Washington, and we're trying to bring every day.
What kind of things, I guess, do you do in practice to keep things loose and keep things fun?
Keep them short. You know, it goes back to the Allen Iverson practice, you know. We go in there, we do our work. Practice has been shortened. We're pretty specific. I mean, we're not going to reinvent the wheel tomorrow. A lot of this thing is we have a great system. Our system has worked. We've put ourselves in positions to win. But you've got to be fresh. You've got to have good energy. And you got to be happy. That's the bottom line. You do that, you're going to play at your best. And that's what our job is, to play, get them to play at their best.
You know, at this point in the season, how can you squeeze more out of this offense?
To be honest with you, Percy, Utah, what did we shoot from the three? Where were we, 11 for 22? What were we from the field? 50, you know, like, how many threes did we make against Colorado? I mean, we turned it over 20 times, but we've been getting shots and making shots. We've made enough shots to win. You just got to be, you know, it's all about like efficiency. So, you know, instead of 20 turnovers, you want them to play aggressive. We're going to make mistakes, but 12, now that's 8 extra shots. Those are huge. We've been focused on rebounding. You know, if they're out rebounding us by 6, that's 6 extra possessions. So now you're talking 4, you're not winning too many games when you're negative 15, 16 possessions in a game with teams. And so those are areas with youth that's hard, but it's one of those things where these guys are getting better. And if they've got the great attitude and they're willing to learn, which they've been, you know, we're going to keep getting better. This thing, as you know, teams have started not so hot and then ended up hot. You know, you look at Oregon last year, you look at where they were, and they ended up doing what? Winning, going to the Sweet 16, and almost beating Virginia. There's a lot of season left, one game at a time, but we just got to focus on getting better.
What happened with Jaden's reaction been to Saturday when 9 minutes and then not starting?
Yeah, you know, Jaden's really been hampered after he had his ankle injury. I mean, after that, he didn't practice for, until the next game. And I probably, in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have played him without having him practice. It's probably my bad. And so instead of having it 100% healed before we went to Utah and that, it's kind of still that hampering. And then, you know, Jaden gets a little frustrated. You know, he's frustrated at his play. You know, his ankle, he can't move. He's not doing those things. And so, that's part of it. And I think when some guys get frustrated, I felt like in the Colorado game that everybody tried, they were trying too hard. Does that make sense? Everybody tried to do something. You all tried to write the same article the same way and the same time, and that can never work. And so I thought they were playing hard. Everybody's just trying too hard. We got to be poised with the youth. We got to move the ball. The ball finds the open man. We got to do our jobs defensively, and everything's going to be okay. So I know that's the long answer, but.
Is it a sprain, or do you need to do more testing?
No, it was more of a sprain. But if you know, it goes back to Percy. Everybody's different. Like, some people have played with injuries before, some guys haven't. He had never had an injury that he had played with an ankle, and so I had it once, and I hurt my ankle really bad on my right side when I was in the CBA, and one of the reasons why I ended up losing my career, even though it was probably the worst career in semi-pro basketball, was what happens is you start, you know, compensating. And so I ended up developing really bad tendonitis in my left knee. I had to have surgery, you know, like all those different things. And so, you know, I wish I did a better job managing it, where he was just wanted to help us win and wanted to play in the Oregon game.
Mike, you played a lot of guys in Colorado, Shuffling them right and left. Is that going to be the case going out?
No. I think the biggest thing is more consistency with the lineup is going to be a big thing. I think after the Quad A loss, you know, we're just trying to figure things out. We've come to grips with the coaching staff. Like, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to move forward. This is how we're going to play it. And coach these guys up. This is what we think our best opportunity to win these guys are. And let's go forward and do our best.
Do you think you found something in Rick Fawn and – I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, after the Colorado game, you mentioned without naming names that maybe there was a lack of focus on team.
Yeah. After watching it, I feel like all these kids really are committed to winning. I think the biggest thing is it goes back to, we have to do a lot of teaching. I think there was a couple shots that we shot that those guys, it wasn't like they were saying, okay, I'm going to just do it myself, but feeling like I've got to make something happen. Does that make sense? And so that message, everybody took it like I was making it to Jaden because he only played 9 minutes. I was making it to the group. It was universal. Everybody was just playing really, really hard, but also not playing together. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust the system. We have to trust each other. And if we can do that, which we've been working on, we'll be a better team.
Do you think you found something in Raekwon, and can you see him starting going forward?
You know what? Raekwon is a starting caliber player. I don't know if I'm going to start him. Raekwon is a guy that gives us a different element. You know, he gives you something pretty dynamic and special. He has the ability to change a game like this. You know, you're in a game, and all, next thing you know, you got 1-3, 2-3, 3-3s in three possessions. And if you get three stops, you're up 9. I mean, he has that ability. He's got that confidence. But he's also young, so he'll take a shot here or there or break down defensively. But this kid's got a future like no other. He's going to help us win this year. And a guy I think is going to be one of the best two guards to ever play here.
How was Isaiah handled all this?
Like Isaiah, you know, I mean, no offense to you guys. I don't read any media. I don't listen to Twitter. I don't do, my wife will come over and go, honey, did you hear that? You read what Isaiah said? Did you see? He's just, you know, it's like when you do the Kobe thing, like everybody's talking about, you know, not once in the last couple of days have you heard anything about him as the type of player he is, because we all know what type of player he is. It's all the impact that he's made in people's lives and the type of person that he is. And that's what makes Isaiah. He does what he does. He tries to win. He tries to be a great teammate. He tries to lead. He does the right thing every day. Yeah, that's like to be around him. Someone asked me, are you taking his DNA? I'm going to go and I'm going to rub up to him every day. And just, you know, he's special, special kid, special player, special person.
We asked him at the beginning of the year whether or not he could go immediately into like a leadership role.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like you said, he just goes with his routine. But do you feel like over time guys have kind of understood that that's the kind of leadership you want?
There's no question about it. And again, it's, you know, unfortunately, we're only going to have him for a year. But I think his impact will be lasting. I said that from the beginning of who we want to be as a program, who you want to be, you know, as a role model for your son or your daughter or the people that are going into every game. He's a difference maker.
What's your key against Arizona tomorrow night?
I think, you know, at the end of the day, we know this. Our key has been our defense. You know, we got to be great defensively. We have to be great defensively. And now with that, we've defended the three-point line a little bit better. Colorado got hot. We've got to rebound better off that. You know, that's where we've got to improve. But if we can do that, I think offensively, you know, we obviously got Isaiah down there. We're getting better better ball movement. I think when we get better ball movement, we'll shoot better, which our percentages haven't been that bad. But the key is going to be moving forward in every game. The defense gives us a chance to be in the game.
It was instant success when you got here, and you know, right to the tournament the next year, and it's the first time you've kind of been battled. What are you learning about yourself as a coach and being in that situation?
Every guy, I tell you, I've learned, you know, I've learned to, you know, we tell the kids about poise. You know, poise is a big factor. And you learn a lot about yourself more when you go through adversity. And as a player and growing up, I've always had adversity. I was never the so-and-so. So I love, to be honest with you, I love the underdog role. You know, and so for me, just learning that it's about the kids. It's not about the coaching staff. Now it's all we can focus on. How do we make them better? How do we make them better leaders? How do we make them better people off the court? And I really believe that if you can focus culturally on those types of things, being consistent, being more disciplined, having better practice habits, eating better, all these things, that the score will take care of itself. And sometimes it's so easy to try to look at that end rather than looking at that process and focusing on that process every day. And for me, that's I've always felt that way, but sometimes you can get lost in a different direction. So for me, it's that, it's the process of, why did I get into coaching? I got into coaching because I loved making guys better. And I loved putting together a group of guys that they say can't do it and you can do it. And so I think in perspective, like, you go through this thing, it's sometimes, you know, you get tested, but it's really a sign of your true character of what's going to come out when you're tested. So I don't think, you know, winning's not going to teach me anything, but I've learned a whole hell of a lot, and I'm, you know, hopefully we can turn it, and that's what we're focused on doing it, but it's going to be turned the way I just talked about focusing on the why we coach, why do we do this? And, that's what we're doing.
We're gonna do one more. Any standout Kobe stories from your interactions with him with USA Basketball?
I was just sharing with a friend. I had coached in 2010. I did USA Basketball my first time, and so that was Kevin Durant's coming out party. Westbrook first year, you know, and so became very close with those guys. And so I was on the 2012 staff. And we were in Washington, D.C. And so I knew, obviously, Carmelo because I coached him. And then we had a group of newer guys. I didn't know Chris Paul. I didn't know LeBron. I didn't know Kobe. And so after practice that day, Kevin says to me, "Hop, let's go get shots." And so he brings LeBron. So we go over, and Kevin has this routine that we would do in Turkey. So he'd do this little, you know, do his shots, his mid-post stuff. And it was funny because over on the other court it was Kobe, Westbrook, and they were shooting around. And so it gets done, and I walk over to the other side of the court. I'm done. You know, practice is over. And I'm like, and I get a tap on the back of my shoulder. And I look, and it's Kobe Bryant. And he says, "You want to do some of that mid-post stuff that you were doing down there with those guys?" And I was like, I felt like I just met Eddie Vedder, right? I kind of like speechless, like. And I go, "All right." So he goes to the elbow, and I pass him the ball, and he does his patented jab series shot. And I don't know him, so I don't know. Like, I'm, you know, you don't work them out. You take them through their workout. So I get the ball, and I do it, and he goes, and he shoots again. He goes, like, with a serious look, he goes, "Are you going to play any defense?" I said, "You want me to play defense?" He goes, "I want you to play defense." So I get him the ball, and now I'm in him, and he's going like this, and I'm hitting him on the elbow, like on the arm, and then Russell's over on the side, like, "Get in him, Hop." He's like, "Get in him." And he starts talking, and he's like, "Don't you watch YouTube? You know, like, I'm the great," like, we're going back and forth. And I'm like, he said something. I said, "Like, don't you watch YouTube? I'm the so-and-so." And I said, "You know, don't you know I was the best Caucasian defender in the history of the Big East?" You know what I mean? And it was like this game of, like, you know, having fun, like you're in the playground, you know, and he's doing it. And I'm watching this guy, his focus on his footwork and working on something and his competitive nature and his everything. And then he got to the mid over here and he started doing the patented, like, two dribble baseline fadeaway. And so I'm watching his footwork and how he's working, and it's precise. The media was trying to, he had media that he wouldn't stop. They were like, "Kobe, you got to go." He's like, "No. Now," and we're going, and it's full sweat. They were trying to, he wouldn't leave. We were there for an hour and a half. People were filming it. People were talking. And we were done. And he said, thank you. I said, thank you so much. I said, can you do me a favor? Is there any way I can introduce you to my son? And my son, Griff, was on the other end. And then we just pulled out the picture because it's kind of emotional when you see it, you know. And I said, Griff, come here, come here. I said, Kobe, can you take a picture? And he said, come here, Griff. And he took a picture with him, and it's now going to be a treasure, right? But, you know, and then later, his agent I was friendly with, and he had helped me in a few situations. And so I didn't know him great, but that was my, I always say it was the greatest moment of my life in basketball, because you're with a legend, you're working with somebody, and you're getting to see him in his art. You know, I got to see Picasso do what for an hour and a half, and that was pretty special. And so, but seeing the type of person he was and the impact he made is pretty special.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.